When we read through the Bible, we find that the Bible commends diligent work. Jacob had his faults, but one thing we notice is that he knew how to work. In Genesis chapter 31, where we'll begin, Genesis 31, and in verse 38, he says, "These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn of beasts I did not bring to you, but I bore the loss of it myself. You required it of my hand, whether stolen by day or by night." Jacob was able to raise sheep. He knew how to do it. They were prosperous. Imagine being able to raise in 20 years, there was no miscarriages. He took that good care of them. There was no losses from wild animals. And if there was any lambs living, he said, "I took it from my own personal flocks and replaced them." Can you imagine an employee like that? That we have a loss under my watch. Hey, I'm going to make up the difference from my own bank account. Not only was he a good worker, but he passed it on to his son, because Joseph was also a good worker. If you look at Genesis 39, Joseph is working in Potiphar's house. And in verse 6, it mentions, "So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there did not concern him as with anything except the food which he ate." Joseph took care of everything. All Potiphar wanted to know was, "What's for dinner tonight?" But Joseph took care of everything else. You go later in the Bible and you find people like Ruth. She's not even an Israelite. She's a Moabite. But in Ruth chapter 2, as they're trying to settle in back in Israel, and her mother-in-law is quite elderly, so Ruth is handling most of the problems. And in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 17, "So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." She spent all day in the fields gathering grain. She would go home after it got dark. She starts beating it out, starts sifting it, managed to get an ephod in a day's work. There's another group that I wanted to mention. It's Jehoiada's workmen. We don't often mention them, but it's good to make note of them. In 2 Kings chapter 12, 2 Kings chapter 12 and in verse 9, "But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bore a hole in its lid and put it in the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priest who guarded the threshold put into it all the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. And when they saw there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came up and tied it in money bags, counted the money which was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money which was weighed out into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and the builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to the masons and the stone cutters for the buying of timber and hewn stone to repair the damages to the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house of the Lord to repair it. But there was not made for the house of the Lord silver cups, snuffers, bowls, trumpets, any gold vessels of gold or vessels of silver from the money which were brought into the house of the Lord. For they gave that to those who did the work, and with it they repaired the house of the Lord. Moreover, they did not require an accounting from the men who into whose hands they gave the money to pay it for those who did the work, for they dealt faithfully." Here was a group of workmen. We have a bunch of repairs. And basically it just said, here's money, fix it. And they didn't even have to worry about whether people were properly paid, whether these people were faithful. They weren't pocketing the money. Later on, even farther, when Daniel becomes a ruler in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and later in the Persian kingdom, and Daniel's enemies wanted to find something to take Daniel down with. Like most politicians, they were trying to find a weakness, some hole in his character. And it's interesting, as notes in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Then the commissioner and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But when they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him." They had to find some other way to take him down. He was a faithful worker. Now, people like that are too rare. Perhaps we don't train our young people like we should to be diligent about their labors. Now, society as we have it now glorifies getting by with the minimum. Things are called great as long as it's good enough. You know, Solomon tells us to learn from the ant in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 6. "Go to the ant, O sluggard, and observe her ways, and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come like a vagabond and your need like an armed man." When do ants work? They work all through the great days, the good days. All those days that we like to take off. You know, the summer days that we want to just hang around and just basically do nothing. Ants are still working. And we're to learn to listen from that. God's design and nature can teach us about what we need to do when we work. We ought to work when things go well. In fact, Job tells us in Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12 and verse 7. "But now ask the beasts, and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, and let them tell you. Or speak to the earth, and let it teach you. And let the fish of the sea declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind?" God has made provisions for us. And the animals know that. And it's not like they just sit back and do nothing. God made the provisions and they work for what they have been given. Now, we always have to labor. Mankind has always labored. And when Adam and Eve were first created in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 15. It says, "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." From the very beginning, when everything was perfect, man was still expected to work. He was given a job to do. A good example about working is Paul himself. Paul didn't just preach the gospel, he lived it. Take a look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice how he lived his life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 8. Paul says, "Having a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. because you have become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witness, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved among you toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you, as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul worked. He worked night and day. He labored in spreading the gospel, but he also labored in physical work. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 11, to this present hour we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless. We toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. And when we are persecuted, we endure. Working with our own hands. Paul did more than just spread the gospel. He made things. In fact, in Acts, we're told that he worked during the day and then made things at night. Acts chapter 18. And in verse 2. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. This is what Paul did. He not only financed his own spreading of the gospel when there wasn't enough support, it mentions he made enough that he was supporting the people that were with him as well. And this is why Paul, when he said, when I taught the gospel, I wronged no one. I didn't take advantage of anyone. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and in verse 2, it says, make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We took no advantage of anyone. Sometimes poor work habits are not always obvious. Some of it is more subtle. Some people work, but they're lazy at it. They're negligent. They don't give their all to it. And there's a warning in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and in verse 4. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Negligence brings about poverty. Sometimes I've worked with people, and you know that they don't give it their all. They don't really, they get by. In fact, basically, they almost figured out, this is the minimum I need to do so I don't get fired. And then they wonder, well, why am I never getting promoted? Why am I not getting praises for? Because they're giving the minimum. They're not giving it their all. It's when you put effort in that you get profit from it. Again, in Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. The soul of the diligent is made fat. The lazy people seem to have all sorts of wants. I want, I want, I want, but they don't get because they don't put the effort into it. Others put effort into it and they have what they want, and sometimes with an overabundance. And so in Proverbs 18, we're told, Proverbs 18 and verse 9, he also who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Not working hard is actually destructive. And the simple reason is because it slows everybody else down. You don't put effort into your part, well, people who are waiting for your part, theirs have to slow down. Because they're slowing down, other people are slowing down. Next thing you know, the whole company is not being very productive. There's also a problem of chasing after useless things. Take a look at Proverbs 12 and verse 11. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. And you think about the world today, how many people spend their money on things that are not going to profit? It's not that you don't have fun and enjoy yourself, but for most people, it's the prime idea. They're focused on pleasure, not on profit, and getting things done. They're busy, but they're focused on, not on what needs to be done. Another problem is in Proverbs 14, and in verse 3. In the mouth of the fool is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will protect him. We've got a lot of workers who just waste time talking. That was one of the things I really don't miss about having to work at IBM. The number of meetings I had to attend. And there are people who will spend almost all their work life in meetings and never actually accomplish anything because they're too busy talking about what they need to accomplish. And then you have the ones who just plain steal from other people. Take a look at Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus 6, and starting at verse 2. So when a person sins and acts unfaithfully against the Lord and deceives his companion in regard to a deposit or a security entrusted to him, or through robbery, or if he has extorted from his companion, or has found what was lost and lied about it, and sworn falsely so that he sins in regards to any one of these things that a man may do, and it shall be that when he sins and becomes guilty, that he shall restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by extortion, or the deposit which was entrusted to him, or the lost thing which he found, or anything about which he swore falsely, he shall make restitution for it in full and add one-fifth more. He shall give it to the one to whom it belongs on the day he presents his guilt offering. So notice what it listed. Different ways people can steal. Through deception in regards to funds. And every once in a while you run across somebody who mismanages the accounts. Somebody who just outright steals. Somebody who cheats. Like, for instance, somebody who uses false balances. In Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 and in verse 1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. We don't like people who cheat, especially by deception, where you're thinking you're getting one thing, but you actually receive something different. But notice also it says to somebody who finds lost property and then keeps it, instead of returning it to the proper owner. And worse, lies about finding it. A Christian is required to work. And he's required to work well for his employer. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in verse 11. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. This is not proper behavior for a Christian. Even if you work for yourself, you still need to put effort into what you do. Now, whenever you own something, it requires upkeep. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 18. Through indolence, the rafters sag, and through slackness, the house leaks. And that's true about anything. If you don't put effort into keeping it running properly, it's going to fall apart. And that's true of business as well. That's why we had read for us Proverbs 24 earlier. But I want you to take note of it again. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. He says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Will that happen all at once? Its surface was covered with nettles. The stone wall was broken down. And when I saw, I reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, and your want like an armed man. A little laziness here, a little laziness there, and before you know it, it's accumulated. And now it's a big project instead of a bunch of little ones that along the way. So in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 28, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, it says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Work with full effort. Work so that you have a little bit more than what you need. You can't sleep away the day and then expect to have some gain. In Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and in verse 13, do not love sleep, or you will become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food. He also said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and in verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity, planning, or knowledge, or wisdom in Sheol where you're going. We're all going to leave this life eventually. Have you accomplished what you need to accomplish? Put your effort into it with all your might. Do give your best effort with it. One of the things we admire about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, and in verse 27, it says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And we're supposed to put skill into our work. In Proverbs 22 and in verse 29. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. When you're good at what you do, whatever it is you do, people take notice. And we're also told to work with an eye about what comes next. Again, that's that lesson from the ants in Proverbs 6 that we read already. What comes after summer? Winter. Prepare now for what comes next. Prepare for the hard times while the things are going well. Take a look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and in verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely. He who sleeps in the harvest is a son who acts shamefully. And when you work for somebody else, be a trusted employee. Paul talked about his work for God in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 2, he said, in this case, moreover, is required of stewards that one is found to be trustworthy. You give somebody something, a task or thing to do, you expect it to be done. You trust the person to accomplish it. And God expects us to be trustworthy in the things of this world. He's trusted us with things in this life. In Luke chapter 16, Luke 16 and in verse 10, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you had not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches to you? And if you had not been faithful in the use of the things which is another's, who will give you what is your own? And that's a good question. If we don't do well with the small tasks that we're given, why do you think anybody would trust us with bigger ones? Of course, all that we do has to be done honestly. Because Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs 13 and verse 11, wealth gained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. I remember one young man we had here at our house that he wanted to get by with minimum, and I kept saying, you got to put effort in. Oh, I can make, you know, he always had this scheme that he was going to make, you know, a lot of money, didn't have to work. There was one month that he actually, somebody asked him if he would help tear down some shelves at a business. Spent a month tearing it down, and he came back and said, that's the most money I've ever made in my whole life in a month. And I said, don't you get the hint? Yeah, it's hard labor, but you make money. People are willing to pay for things like that. Don't try to make money by cheating the system in a sense. Work hard. And our business dealings need to be fair. In Leviticus 19, Leviticus 19 and verse 35, you shall do no wrong in judgment in measure of weight or capacity. When you're dealing in business, be honest. There's a simple reason for that. People like to do business with honest business people. They'll come back. Even if something didn't quite go right, if the person's honest, they'll come back. Because they trust that person. God has given us the business of spreading His gospel, of living in this life. We illustrate that gospel through how we behave in our workplace, in our own jobs, the businesses that we own. We become an illustration of what it's like to be a Christian. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.